Just a couple weeks away from the Detroit Grand Prix, and we have a special guest in studio. It's very exciting when we have someone live here, and it's Miles Rowe, Indy Next driver. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about Indy Next, because it is not the big Indy car. What are you, like, in the minor leagues, ready to get going in the bigs?
Yeah, you can call it the minor leagues, the semi-pros. The Indy Next by Firestone series is almost like a Formula 2 to its Formula 1, and it's got the best of the best junior drivers and some pro drivers from other series as well trying to make their way into the IndyCar series, and then just American motorsport in general. People coming from overseas and then people in the States as well.
These developmental programs to try to get more diversity into the sport, we've seen it in a lot of things. In racing, we saw the Gran Turismo movie. Where did you come from? How did they recruit you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was one of those Gran Turismo, you know, drivers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just started with a video?
Yeah, on the PlayStation and everything.
Well, he had a makeshift thing that you created with a couch cushion?
Yeah. That was me. That was all me. And essentially, I got funded by Force Indy, coming out of the Race for Equality and Change from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Roger Penske in 2021. And so we started as a new team in the USF 2000 series, which is under the USF Pro Championships banner, which is essentially two or three steps under IndyCar.
Okay.
And so we went for a couple years in that, won a championship last year in the USF Pro Series, and that's why we're in Indy Next by Firestone this year.
And you have a car with the red tail on it and the number 99. What's the significance
Correct.
Of those?
Yeah, the red tails are paying homage to the Tuskegee Airmen. We thought it would be appropriate to put them on the car to honor them as something coming out of the Race for Equality and Change initiative.
And then the number 99?
The number 99 is a tribute to Raj Ojak, who raced back in the day and couldn't get a race win. And so the goal is to get a race win with the 99 for Raja and pay testament to him.
And he wasn't allowed, though, to participate because of his color.
Yeah, exactly. He faced a number of issues getting into the track and getting into the car and even working on some of the cars. And so that basically stopped him from getting that win in the 99. And so we wanted to make sure that win was taken care of and eventually
yes.
a championship. And, yeah, much more titles to be had with that number.
Indy Next driver Miles Rowe, you got your start in karting like a lot of drivers do, and you were noticed by Will Power, the greatest name in racing,
I
think.
And a great
Will
guy,
Power.
Too.
Yeah.
He's been a frequent guest.
Guy. Talk to me about your relationship with Will Power.
Yeah, Will has been in my corner since a while now. He found me when I was 14 at the go-kart track. It was my first time in a real go-kart after coming from indoor go-karting. And so the story is I didn't meet him in the paddock. I met him on the track, sort of a thing. He took a liking to my style, my driving. I guess he could tell I was a new driver and started passing me, going behind me and you know, letting me follow and get some experience. And from that moment on, he's kind of been in my corner, him and his wife, Liz. And especially through these last couple of years, they've helped me kind of, you know, stay the straight and narrow and make sure, you know, I'm talking to the right people, but also, you know, staying away from the wrong people, which can be very difficult in motorsport, in any industry in general, with a lot of people, you know, wanting to help out and also hurt you and for their own benefit, sort of a thing. So he's been incredible mentor to me. And he's an incredible person, incredible family man.
So as you work on your skills, you're in basically a developmental league here, right? How do you get to that next level? How do you get to the main show? What has to happen in the next? You got a fourth and a fifth so far mm-hmm. this year. I mean, you're finishing in the top 10, which is great. How do you take it to the next level?
Yeah, it's obviously performance and just consistency on track. But as we know, it's a pay-to-play sport. So sponsors and making sure you have people in your corner to make sure you can afford the next level. IndyCar is very expensive, like Formula One. It takes millions to run a team. And so you need to make sure you're bringing money to the team, sort of a thing, and sponsors and companies. It's not just, like I said, performance. It's the balance of the two that really make
the business side,
the business
side,
and the performance side that really make the two come together.
What do you say to young boys, especially young African American boys who want to get into this business, who want to be racers? I mean, of course, you don't start with drag racing in the streets, but you know. But what would you tell them they need to do to get ready for something like?
Yeah, I'd say use the internet to your advantage. Just researching finding events where you can volunteer and go and talk to people actually in the industry and get, you know, different references and build your network is quite important. It's a long journey. For me, I mean, I wasn't able to race from 2017 to 2021 because lack of funding. And it was just about perseverance all the way through to make sure, you know, you keep your belief up, keep your skills up, and make sure that you have and build the right people or mm-hmm. in your corner to let your dreams come true.
Last year, the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear returned to the streets of downtown. I understand that you got a look at that. You also are embracing our culture here because you threw out the first pitch of the Tigers last night. So you like Detroit so far?
I love Detroit. I love it. And I love the game, yes.
What do you think about the urban course downtown?
I think it's going to be quite dynamic. I love the different elevation changes that are going on. You don't get that at a lot of street circuits, actually. Right. And so that'll be really interesting playing with the setup with that. Also, just using different styles with your driving when you're attacking uphills and going through downhills, especially with the bumps involved.
What are the speeds you go? I mean, you get an adrenaline rush with those speeds.
For sure. I mean, you definitely get a kick out of these cars coming down the straightaway. We're hitting, you know, above 180. Sort of a thing, and yeah, we're open wheel. We have, you know, the air pressure keeping us hooked to the track, so our cornering speeds are quite high as well, and it's quite physical as well. So it's definitely an adrenaline rush.
When you say physical, you know, you just have to. Is there other ways to prepare? I mean, it's
tough, man. I mean, these guys are like Olympians because, first of all, the races aren't short; they're very long. And you got to think of the size of these tires. You got to think of how sticky rubber can be. And then you're talking about putting a heavy car to a track with it and running laps and laps and laps over and over again. I mean, the steering wheel is tough. I mean, mm-hmm. Just you got to be, it's like a bench press every time you're turning the wheel sort of a thing. So you got to be not only conditioned, but very, very strong to make it work. But also, you know, fit enough, lean enough to fit inside the car.
Right.
So there's a lot of different dynamics and variables athletically that go into it that a lot of people don't think about.
What about the mental discipline and maintaining focus over a long race? How hard was that to develop? And is that something you're still developing?
Yeah, that's something a lot of people don't think about. I mean, because, yeah, you have the physical side, but then there's all these intricate, meticulous things going on with not only the car, but yourself, thinking about where to brake, when,
the anticipation.
How. Anticipation. I mean, when you're driving a car, you're essentially acting on the future every time. If you're not thinking about the future, you're going to end up crashing or you're going to end up very, very slow on track. And it's about having the appropriate preparation beforehand so you're not thinking of too many variables on site in the present while driving the car. But then also not overthinking it and overdoing it so that you're just keeping it simple and also just letting it come to you.
So if you were to talk to your 12-year-old self, knowing that this is what you wanted to do, what should you have been doing then, or what should parents listening to us, you're going to kind of steer their kids towards, whether it's maybe understanding of physics and just things like that?
Yeah, keep it simple. At the end of the day, it's like driving on the street. Just keep it simple because you can really overcomplicate it because it's quote unquote race car driving.
Okay.
And it has all these variables in it, but really it's brake, turn, accelerate sort of a thing. That's all it is. And
it's that simple, guy.
My
and it's not like NASCAR. It's not all just one turn.
Yeah. It can get really overcomplicated. My coach and I, through the years, we've had to basically simplify the process, you know, race after race. And the more simple I made it, the more faster I got.
Right.
Well, clearly you have the feel because Will Power saw it all those years ago. And here you are. You're going to be competing in the Indy Next race, which is just before the big Indy car race on Sunday. We will be watching you. And also, we as a team will be at the Detroit Grand Prix on Friday. We're very excited about this, the 34th Grand Prix event in the city's history. Thank you, Miles Rowe.
No, thank
Good
you,
luck.
Guys. It's a pleasure.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.